Isaiah 61. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives, and release from darkness for the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn and provide for those who grieve in Zion, to bestow on them a crown of beauty instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, and a garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair. They will be called oaks of righteousness, a planting of the Lord for the display of his splendor. They will rebuild the ancient ruins and restore the places long devastated. They will renew the ruined cities that have been devastated for generations. Aliens will shepherd your flocks, foreigners will work your fields and vineyards, and you will be called priests of the Lord. You will be named ministers of our God. You will feed on the wealth of nations, and in their riches you will boast. Instead of their shame, my people will receive a double portion, and instead of disgrace, they will rejoice in their inheritance. And so they will inherit a double portion in the land, and everlasting joy will be theirs. For I, the Lord, love justice. I hate robbery and iniquity. In my faithfulness, I will reward them and make an everlasting covenant with them. Their descendants will be known among the nations and their offspring among the peoples. All who see them will acknowledge that they are the people the Lord has blessed. I delight greatly in the Lord, and my soul rejoices in my God, for he has clothed me with garments of salvation and arrayed me in a robe of righteousness, as a bridegroom adorns his head like a priest, and a bride adorns herself with jewels. For as the soil makes a sprout come up, and a garden causes seeds to grow, so the Sovereign Lord will make righteousness and praise spring up before all nations.
Well, good morning, and I'm so glad you've been able to join us again online. What a privilege it is that we can open up God's Word, and it really has been my prayer that the Lord will comfort you and challenge you and encourage you on this day as we come under the authority of His Word. We all love good news, and if I was to say to you, I've got some good news and some bad news, what would you like first? I'm not quite sure if there's surveys out there, but I'm thinking that if there was a survey, I'm pretty sure most people want the bad news first, because we all love good news. We love to end and land on the good news. We want the good news to lift our spirits. We want the good news to give us some sort of hope. So there's bad news and there's good news. So let me start with the bad news. The bad news, we've run out of toilet paper again. I cannot believe for the life of me that we're back here again with empty toilet paper, no toilet paper on the shelves. What is happening? Here's the good news. The good news is our justice in June. I still can't believe in the generosity of our church that we could also raise $103,000 for our missionaries and our partners. I just want to say thank you again. It is great news. And what a great segue into Isaiah chapter 61, because I've really titled this message, Great News. And so we're going to head right there to Isaiah chapter 61. We're really just going to work through this passage this morning together. And let's have a look at what does God really want us to know from this passage, and what can we really apply to our lives. Isaiah 61 is great news. And it really is great news because it's like, I think it's like an echo in our soul. And what I mean by that is when you think of an echo, it's a sound in the past that reverberates into the present time. Now, the prophet Isaiah is a profound example of a voice from the past who communicates timeless truths into our present reality right now, today. We're in a series called The Larynx of God, and Isaiah had a larynx that was filled with inspired words from God. He was holding the nation of Israel to account for their gross idolatry, their neglect of the poor, but Isaiah also bore great news, good news of God's presence, of his restoration, especially for the Israelites that were in exile when they were to come back into the promised land. Isaiah is filled with great news, and that's Isaiah chapter 61 for us. So let's have a look at this passage, and let's start with verses 1 and 3. The Spirit of the Lord is on me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives and release from darkness for the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance for our God, to comfort all who mourn. I love these verses right here. And provide for those who grieve in Zion, to bestow on them a crown of beauty instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, and a garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair. God's people, the Israelites, they will be called oaks of righteousness, a planting of the Lord for the display of his splendor. What rich, great news this is for the people of God and for us. Let's just take the very first part of verse 1. Let's have a look a little closer at who is actually speaking in this passage. Verse 1, just the opening verse, reads this way. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me. Here in this verse, we actually see all three persons of the Trinity. We believe in one God, Father, Son, and Spirit. And here in this verse, we see the Trinitarian God is speaking. I mean, just look a little closer at this verse. The Spirit, that is the Holy Spirit, the Sovereign Lord, Yahweh, that is our Father. And the Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me. Now, who is the me? That's Jesus. Spirit, Father, and Son, the Trinitarian God is speaking in this passage, and that's why it is such great news, and we need to pay careful attention to what God is saying here. Now, how do we know the me is Jesus? Well, if you fast forward through Scripture and you get to the Gospel of Luke, Luke chapter 4, we see that Jesus actually reads Isaiah chapter 61 in the synagogue. Now, what's really interesting about Luke chapter 4 is that when Jesus was in this synagogue, he was handed the scroll to read the Word of God. And when he was handed the scroll, he went and he found Isaiah 61. That meant that Jesus was reading out of order. So those that were the synagogue rulers gave you specific readings and you had to read in a particular order. By Jesus reading chapter 61, he's reading out of order. So when he finished reading, everyone in the synagogue was looking at him like, what are you doing, Jesus? What are you doing? It's like somebody getting up at CBC and reading the wrong Bible passage before the sermon. But I think what's most astounding is that all eyes are on Jesus, and then he makes this very important statement. Jesus says, "Today this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." It was at that point that they were furious. They actually wanted to throw Jesus off a cliff. The me is Jesus, and Jesus says that he has come to preach good news to the poor. Jesus has come to heal the brokenhearted. He is liberty to the captives, to the prisoners, and the day of vengeance of the Lord is coming. Jesus is here to announce the kingdom of God, but also embody this message. Jesus, he brings comfort for those that are struggling. And that's the good news for us. He still brings comfort today. And I love those verse 2 and 3 says, where there is ashes, I'm going to give you beauty. Where there's mourning, I'm going to give you oil of joy. There's a spirit of heaviness, I'm going to give you a garment of praise. God's people, will be called oaks of righteousness, a rich planting, a beautiful tree for God's display, that people can see us and go, wow, something is happening in their life. It is the power of God upon them. They are thriving and doing well in the struggle of life. So here's my first point. Jesus fulfills his mission today. Luke chapter 4, Isaiah chapter 61, it wasn't just a mission for yesterday. Jesus still fulfills his mission today, and he's doing that all over the world. But here's the good news. Jesus fulfills his mission today, which is good news for the poor and the poor in spirit, healing the brokenhearted. He's fulfilling his mission through us, his disciples. We, you and I, in all our struggles, we carry on the mission of Jesus today. Jesus is fulfilling his mission through us, through our life. And you just need to have eyes to open up and to see it. Ivor Lewis, one of our pastors on staff for pastoral care, shared a story this week of a six-year-old child in our kids' ministry that when they saw the Lighthouse video, Injustice in June, was so stirred by that, said to their parents that they wanted to give $50 of their pocket money. This is a six-year-old child that wants to be generous. I think that's going to be so formative for them. Who knows what they'll grow up and do and be even extra generous in their life and remember that day they gave their first $50. But can you not see? Even there, in the innocence of a six-year-old child, Jesus comes and with rich generosity overflows to bless the Lighthouse kids in Cambodia. God is fulfilling his mission today, and he's doing it through us. He's doing it through unlikely people like us, children, the struggling, the hurting, and God wants to richly use us today. Check out this little video clip from Hope Street, what it means to reach out, to bless, and to serve.
If you need a helping hand, I'll do all that I can. If you think you run on empty, I can bring something to carry you along.
I was so stirred by this clip. Sacrificial service of standing alongside those that are struggling. And that's what God wants us to do. And here's my second point today, coming out of the passage in a few moments' time. Connect and serve. We carry on the mission of Jesus and we do that. Connect and serve. We want to connect with those that aren't yet following Jesus, or those that are even struggling in their faith. We want to make a connection, build a relationship, and then serve. You know, I've never actually met a person that follows Jesus and has said, I never want God to use me. I never want to be used by God. I've never met that person. I've only ever met a desire in somebody, yeah, I do want to be used by God. I do want God to use me. So what is that? I think deep down we really want to be used by God, but we're not willing to do the work of sacrificial service so that God can use us. Truth be told, we want to be used by God. There's this desire because the Spirit is in us to reach out and help, but yet, truth be told, I don't think many of us are willing to make that sacrificial service desire, edge, willingness to go and actually be used by God. It takes sacrificial service to be used by God. And deep down, there is that still small voice that wants to rise up and God wants to use you. It's going to take sacrificial service, but it's going to just take a step of faith. So connect and serve, that is our step in. We connect relationally And then we serve with Christ's love as we bring his good news. You know, you can do that just by going and volunteering at Hope Street. Just go online. Why not? Go into Hope Street and start to volunteer and to serve there. It's going to take effort, and then God will use you. What really concerns me as well is our scripture teachers. We need scripture teachers in primary and high school. Are you willing? If you're willing to step out in faith, connect with kids, and to serve in bringing the word of God, God will mightily use you. For me personally, I just really love walking with not yet Christians. There's a friend of mine I've been walking with now for about a year and a half, and we've had great opportunities to share the gospel, love bike riding with this guy. He's actually becoming one of my really good friends. A couple of weeks ago, he rang me because his work, he's a tradie, his work was drying up and he was quite concerned and he didn't know what to do. He's got a lot of bills to pay, a lot of commitments, and he was very, very worried. So I said to my friend, I said, why don't you try praying? He goes, oh, okay, I'll try. How do you do that? I said, look, just ask God, but just pray in the name of Jesus. And so we hung up the phone. I prayed. He went away and prayed. The next day, he rang me and he said, Paul, you wouldn't believe it. I prayed. I did it in the name of Jesus. And then my phone, it hasn't stopped ringing. And work, it just continues to come in. And I'm really busy. I said, wow. I said, so how did it go? What did you pray? He said, well, I found it really hard. I really didn't know how to start. So what did you do? I said. He said, well, this is how I prayed. I said, hey, dude, can you sling me some work in the name of Jesus? I said, well, I said, that's a good start. I said, God's probably been called worse, but maybe you could maybe say our Father in heaven. Maybe next time you pray, and we talked a little bit about Jesus teaching his disciples to pray. But that's incredible. To make that connection with my friend and then to serve him and encouraging him to pray and to watch him start to experience the power of God and to take a step towards following Jesus, wow, what a privilege. All it takes is my willingness to make a connection and to be there and to open the word and to love and to serve. And in that, the mission of Jesus continues, and it continues through us. But you've got to be willing to take the step in. By connecting and serving, I think we really learn the very things that God says in his word, that they are true. And this was Israel's call. We're going to see in verses 4 to 7 that Israel has this call to come back and to connect with others and to serve them. Let's have a look in verse 4. They will rebuild the ancient ruins and restore the places long devastated. They will renew the ruined cities that have been devastated for generations. Aliens will shepherd your flocks. Foreigners will work your fields and vineyards. And you'll be called priests of the Lord. You'll be named ministers of God. You will feed on the wealth of nations, and in their riches you will boast. Instead of their shame, my people will receive a double portion, and instead of disgrace, they will rejoice in their inheritance. So they will inherit a double portion in the land, and everlasting joy will be theirs. This is Israel's comeback. This is their call to come back from exile. God is going to repair. He's going to restore. This is good news. The Israelites, they've got nothing to lean on but the presence and the power of a triune God who will give them everything they need to be able to rebuild. When God anoints and when he empowers us by his Spirit, the comeback becomes real. And I think what a great challenge for us. We're on the road to come back as well. This is our comeback day as well. And I believe God really, he wants to use our experiences over the last couple of months. He really does. All the upheaval of our life, this is our comeback from exile. This is our reconnection as well. God's going to use our experiences. He's going to leverage what we've learned, what we've experienced, so that we can take a step in and serve like never before, so that we can connect with others, so that we can allow the mission of Jesus to flow through us. I really believe that this is a profound message for today, verses 4 to 7. It's Israel's comeback call, but it's our comeback call as well. I think so often the church should be viewed as both a hospital and an army. I think we turn up to church a little banged up and God is the greatest physician. No one is completely well, only Jesus. God the Father, as we gather together through His Spirit and by His Son, He puts us back together so that we can become an army and step out and carry on the mission of Jesus. So that we can bring good news to the poor. To the poor in spirit, I think about my friend that I'm walking alongside, and I believe he is coming closer and closer to Jesus. The poor in spirit need the good news of Jesus Christ through our lives and our spoken word, that we would heal the brokenhearted, that liberty to the captives, that we would set prisoners free. This is our comeback day. Verse 6, look at this. And you'll be called priests of the Lord. You'll be named ministers of God. That's us. In our comeback, the role of the priest was to present God to the world, and now we get to take on that role. We have been recreated by Christ so that we can mediate God to the world. And from Isaiah chapter 61, we see that Jesus fulfills his mission through us as we connect and serve. And my third point today is this. Love what God loves. Love what God loves. And if you do that, you'll start to act like God. Let's have a look in verses 8 to 9. For I, the Lord, love justice. I hate robbery and iniquity. In my faithfulness, I will reward them and make an everlasting covenant with them. Their descendants will be known among the nations and their offspring among the peoples. All who see them will acknowledge that they are a people of the Lord has blessed. For I, the Lord, love justice. I hate robbery and iniquity. In my faithfulness, I will reward them and make an everlasting covenant with them. Wow. When we love and value what God loves, we start to act and think and behave like God does. In the past, Israel was very duplicitous. In fact, they were worshiping God in their religious practice, but their heart and their lifestyle was so far from God. Deceit and robbery, neglect of the poor, that's what brought about the judgment of God. God loves justice and he despises the hypocrite. And when we love justice, this is what happens. Verse 9. Their descendants will be known among the nations and their offspring among the peoples. All who see them will acknowledge that they are a people. The Lord has blessed. When we love justice like God loves justice, the world will see. We will be that oak of righteousness for the display of God's splendor, that people will see our lives and just be, wow. How did you act like that? How did you react like that? What and why are you loving in that way? Why? Because we're carrying on the mission of Jesus to set the prisoners free. As we connect and serve with a grace-filled and authentic relationship with God, our freedom in Christ becomes evident and attractive, I think, to our world. And so I personally count it an absolute honor to connect and to let God use me to sacrificially serve, to go where God wants me to go. It is an absolute honor because Jesus, he bled and he died for me. I think for me, because of the cross and resurrection, because God loves me so much, I can't help but just come back to a place of worship, where I just want to worship God. And out of that worship, I feel inspired to go out and be more bold and more courageous for Jesus. Think about when somebody cooks you a really beautiful meal, a meal that you really love. When you eat that meal, do you not thank that person? Do you not even praise them for their ability to cook? How much more should we thank and praise God because he has served us with his life and his death and his resurrection? The power of God is in us. How can we retreat? No. God calls us to go out into his world, and it comes ultimately from a place of worship. Respond with worship today. And that's what Isaiah does in verses 10 and 11, rounding out this passage. Isaiah responds to worship, to God in worship. I delight greatly in the Lord. My soul rejoices in my God, for he has clothed me with garments of salvation and arrayed me in a robe of righteousness, as a bridegroom adorns his head like a priest, and as a bride adorns herself with her jewels. For as the soul makes the sprout come up and a garden causes seeds to grow, so the sovereign Lord will make righteousness and praise spring up before the nations. Wow, there is so much imagery. I wish we had the time to really sit and unpack this incredible worship moment. We are called into a place of worship. And out of that worship, look at this last verse. So the righteousness of the Lord, the sovereign Lord, will make righteousness and praise spring up before all nations. There it is, the whole sermon wrapped up in this last word. Praise spring up before the nations. And that's why we begin with worship, we end with worship. Our life is an act of worship, which is to ascribe worth to God. And when you do that, you experience a filling of the Spirit, and that filling, it propels us into the world to carry on the mission of Jesus. And we do that because we connect with people, we serve with them and for them. And it's inspired with a love for justice. When we love what God loves, we'll start to act as God acts. So how can we not come to a place of communion to remember that Jesus' body was broken for us, his blood was shed? I trust you've got your elements there. What a humbling moment for us to come before a holy God that loves us. He bled and he died for us. And on that cross, he's giving us a comeback to be used by him, to carry on his mission. And while Jesus was eating, he took bread and he gave thanks and he broke it. He said to his disciples, "Take and eat. This is my body." He broke that bread as a symbol of his body that was broken. The love and the justice of God so powerfully demonstrated for us. So eat in remembrance of Jesus and his love and forgiveness for us. And we take the cup. We take a symbol of the blood of Jesus that flowed freely for us, that we are completely forgiven. And I just encourage you, come before God, just say, "Forgive me, Lord, I'm sorry, I want to be used by you." And God will. He'll take you into the world, but you've got to be willing to go. But it starts here, a moment of worship. Let us drink in remembrance of Jesus. Let me pray. Our Father in heaven, we just want to praise you and thank you that today we have heard from you. Isaiah chapter 61, you're breathing your breath into us, an ancient text that still reverberates around our soul today like a spiritual echo. Father, stir within us a passion and zeal for your name, that we would reach out to this world with your love and your truth and your grace. We thank you that we worship you in this moment, that we would go boldly. Lord, may we love what you love, and out of that, may the world see that you're a good and powerful God. Fill us again and send us out to carry on your mission this week. In Jesus' name, amen.